This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Jewelry can say many things on your wedding day. As a wedding band, it can say, "This is a forever symbol of our forever love." As a gift to your wedding party, it can say, "Thanks for standing up there with us." Blue Nile can help you find the piece that says it all and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com.
Why, hello there, fantasy baseball fans. I'm Paul Williamson. This is Fantasy MLB Today, a Sports Ethos presentation. Thank you so much for joining me today. I will have our typical pitcher streams for today and tomorrow. But as an added bonus, I'm going to give you some hitter, buy low, and sell highs. I do a lot of pitching throughout the week, and today's a day that I get to work a little bit more on the podcast, look into some more names, do a little extra for you, and I decided to throw in some hitting information. Since I do so much pitching, I figured let's balance it out and let's do some hitting, show you some, get you some help on the offensive side of things for your fantasy baseball teams. I hope you've had a great day. I've had a decent day. I mean, it started out a little rough. You know how you leave work and you're just like, man, I just want to get home. I'll just wake up in the morning and go get things like gas, or for me, it was freaking toilet paper. So I had to wake up and do my, you know, typical morning routine. Me and my wife call it man time. I don't think I need to get into more details than that. So I had to wake up, take my ass over to Dollar General. But while I was there, I was able to pick up a honey bun and a Starbucks energy coffee drink, and I needed that this morning because I had to write a longer podcast for y'all, and because I love y'all. That's what I do, and that's what you do for the people that you love. And so I love you, and I love my wife. I hope she's listening. So I do believe that that I had an adequate cleaning out of the system this morning, and I was able to write up a nice long podcast for y'all to enjoy with a lot of what I hope is a lot of key information to help y'all win your leagues. Make sure you go follow me on the Twitter at PaulW_34, at PaulW_34, to get my random thoughts throughout the day, get updates on my content. Once again, you know, I just want to remind y'all that I got my Phoenix Suns season recap up, did the Rockets and Hornets earlier this year, and I would love it if you went over and checked that out, checked out the work doing on the basketball division for Sports Ethos at Ethos Fantasy NBA, at Ethos Fantasy NBA. Aaron Bruski and Dr. Alexander are doing amazing things with that, with the podcast over there, the Fantasy NBA Today podcast. We have the Fantasy NFL Today podcast happening as well. Definitely go check out the work being done over there. They've got all those team recaps. They're going to be working on divisional recaps. You got best ball information over there. I mean, every potential thing that you need to win the fantasy football league and get those bragging rights to beat your friends, we got you covered. Check us out at Sports Ethos, guys. We have so much going on and so much to help you win your leagues. You want to make some money on the DFS side, Keith Cork has got you covered. Aaron Bruski's gives you some wager plays as well. So go check us out, guys. Everything you could need for DFS or regular fantasy or nine cap fantasy basketball, if it's got to do with sports and fantasy and making money and winning leagues, Sports Ethos has it. Alrighty, y'all. Enough begging for me and Sports Ethos. Let's beg for Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the game is being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one or over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. Alrighty, y'all. So before I get to those hitter buy lows and sell highs, I would like to, you know, do our typical pitcher streams. You know the rules, 65% or under. They will probably be talked about. If they're not talked about on the podcast, that means one of two things. That means they're heavily rostered and they're not streams, or you're just not touching them with a 6-foot pole. There's just no explanation needed. Just don't use them. Alrighty, y'all. Going to dive quickly into today's streams, quick recap, and then I'm going to dive deep into tomorrow's streams. There's actually a good number of names on the streaming list before we get to the buy low and sell highs for the hitters. So here we go. Let's get into it for today. We've got three names on the list for today. Eric Fetty, he's 50% owned. He's more of a shallower format play here, but he is a play in all formats today. Chris Paddock is also an excellent play with both of those guys having pretty solid matchups. Spencer Arrighetti does not have as great as a matchup. Remember what I told you about the Giants, how they're third in the WRC Plus in the last 30 days, third in WRC Plus over the last 30 days. I beat that number into your head like a dead horse or whatever it's called, whatever that saying is that I'm blanking on. The Giants aren't as bad as people think. Now, Spencer Arrighetti does have the strikeout upside, but if you care about your ERA and whip at all, I'm not using them. Okay, let's talk about tomorrow streams. And the first one on the list is a very deep league option only, Albert Suarez, because he has the Braves. Let me give you a couple of arguments here as to why deeper leagues can consider him even against the Braves. Look, since Ronald Acuna went down, the Braves are 27th in the league in WRC+. Now, I'm not going to say the Braves are going to be a bad offense without Acuna. There's no doubt that they still have tons of firepower, and this play is still way too risky for standard size leagues. But deeper leagues, you're just trying to catch lightning in a bottle with this stream. You're just trying to scrape the bottom of the barrel of your waiver wire to try and see if you can get some kind of upside. And I think that, you know, whenever you catch a team kind of on a down slope like the Braves are right now, at least offensively they are, I think that you can kind of catch them, you know, kind of on their feet, right? Kind of backing up and not being their typical selves, right? A baseball team goes into a slump, and generally the slumps can last a decent while. So you can catch the Braves while they're down. Go with a pitcher like Albert Suarez, who does have a 1.83 ERA this year. The xFIP is 3.99, so it's not like the ERA is going to be like that all year. You know, but he does have a decent strikeout rate of 21% and a decent walk rate of 7%. So he does have the numbers to perform well. The one number that is the biggest sign of regression for him is he has a 2.2% home run to fly ball ratio. That's insanely low. So you just got to believe that Suarez is still going to be a decent stream against a lot of offenses, and for deep leaguers right now with the Braves struggling like they are, if you're scraping the bottom of the waiver wire, you can do worse than Albert Suarez. All right, let's talk Tristan McKenzie. And this is one of those situations where he's more on the list right now, not necessarily as a stream because he's 56% owned and you're not using him in standard league formats. I mean, maybe in deep leaguers you can use him because the Reds have struggled a little bit, even though we are entering a little warmer months in Great American Ballpark. He is pitching in Cincinnati, so there's more risk than usual, I would imagine. But let's talk more about why Tristan McKenzie probably shouldn't even be on your roster anymore, especially in standard leagues. He has a 4.16 ERA. The xFIP is 4.94, and I'm also going to give you the expected ERA of 4.93. Not only that, he also has an 82.6% left on base rate. That is a high number, so there are going to be less men left on base, which means more runs scored, and that's generally a bad thing for a pitcher. He does still have a decent strikeout rate at 22.3% with a 10.7% swinging strike rate. That's not really all that great, and neither is a CSW. So it's not like there's a lot of, under the hood numbers, so to speak, for the strikeout rate to make it seem like it's going to be that high all year, especially with the fastball velo being down. He also has a lower whiff rate, and he also And he also has a below average whiff rate and a worse chase rate than he did last year. You know, he does still have good extension, so that does add a little value to his pitches. But overall, I almost forgot, the 13.1% walk rate. Look, none of these numbers are jumping out at me saying that there's going to be some kind of turnaround, something that says Tristan McKenzie is going to be somebody that, you know, is going to be a good start against a lot of offenses. I think right now McKenzie is only usable against the bottom third, maybe even bottom fourth of the league in terms of who you're going to start him against. You know, he does have a couple of encouraging numbers, right? The strikeout rate being 22.3% is one of them, but also, you know, he has an expected WOBA, expected WOBA, whatever you can call it, against the curveball and slider of 216 and 158. That's pretty freaking awesome, but the four-seamer is just getting wrecked super hard at a 442x WOBA. You know, the usage on it was down last time out to 48.8%. It had been in the mid-50s. So maybe, maybe he's changing things up, going to use the fastball a little bit more, get a little bit more out of the curveball and slider, and we can start to see some things change for him, possibly. So that is something to keep your eye on. But as of right now, he's not someone I'm interested in having on my roster. I think there are a lot of better options, especially, you know, why I would rather stream a middling option. Like there are a lot of middling options today that I would consider dropping McKenzie for one of these options today, because you're just going to get more value out of streaming that roster spot versus keeping McKenzie on your roster, right? So instead of having McKenzie, you're just going to have a streaming spot. You just keep cycling out streams, and I think that might be a more valuable way to use that roster spot than trying to wait for Tristan McKenzie to wake up. Okay.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Let's go on to Kenta Maeda. He is 14% owned. He has the Nationals, and I think he's a decent deep league option. He's too risky for 12-team leagues, but I think he has the matchup to be used if you're scraping the bottom of the barrel in those deep leagues. Kenta Maeda has been the definition of freaking Jekyll and Hyde this year. He has 4 really good starts and 5 really bad starts. He has, the thing with Maeda is that we're used to him having a strikeout rate kind of in the mid-20s. Like, he's had a strikeout rates in previous years at 27.3, 24.9%. But right now that strikeout rate is down to 17.1%. But you know, the walk rate has remained steady at 6.8%. So that's pretty solid. Overall, the swing and strike rate and the CSWs are both down to 10.2% and 26.3%. There is a lot of concern surrounding Kenta Maeda, you know, not even mentioning the 6.25 ERA and the 4.82 xFIP. You know, those are all also pretty awful numbers. However, there is some things to look at Kenta Maeda and think that maybe the good strikeouts upside dude that we know and love from previous years, it might be in there somewhere, because he does have four starts with a swing and strike rate of 11.3% or higher. He's gotten up to 13, 14, 15% on the year in individual games. There are just so many duds thrown in there that, like I said, Jekyll and Hyde. He's had so many duds that even with those high swing and strike rate games, there are so many games where he's like in the sixes, the fives, where he's not missing bats at all. You know, maybe having bat bip luck in certain games in order to get his success. You know, there's just has been so many duds. It is very, very hard to trust Kenta Maeda right now, especially with the potential injury concern. He left last start. I think he only threw like three pitches or something. So do keep an eye on the injury. Matt Manning would be the next guy up, and I'm a little less high on Manning than I am Maeda. If it's Manning, you know, maybe you can still consider him a super deep league, scraping the bottom of the barrel kind of thing, because he's had some decent success this year, I guess. But I'm not, you know, I neither of these guys are super inspiring. You're not using any of them in your 12-team daily change leagues. You know, maybe deep leaguers, you know, pretty deep leaguers, you know, maybe y'all can see some value in him. Maybe Kenta Maeda will tap into the good side. But, you know, also the injury risk being there, you know, you don't, you know, he went in last time, tried to give it a go, didn't work out. It might happen again, or he might not start at all. So just keep an eye on that situation. Okay, let's talk Tyler McGill. Tyler McGill has the Marlins. He's 20% owned. Marlins are 26 in the league in WRC Plus, so that gives McGill a pretty decent upside to be an okay 12-team play. He has had four starts this year with a 3 ERA with a 2.91 FIP, but the xFIP is 4.10. So, you know, not super inspiring there. He also has a low home run to fly ball ratio of 3.7%. So there is some risk involved, but it is the Marlins. And look, you've got Tyler McGill with a 27% strikeout rate against a bad offense with a 12.6% swing and strike rate. I think there's a lot of upside for McGill to do pretty well against the Marlins tomorrow. So I think he is a pretty okay 12-team play. Shallower formats like 10 teamers or so, it's a little bit too risky there because of that home run to fly ball ratio is pretty high. He does have a pretty high walk rate of 10.1%, which increases the which kind of decreases the margin of error for him. You know, he did very well against the Dodgers. It went 7 innings, no earned runs, and 9 strikeouts, but then he turned around against the Nats and just freaking shit the bed. So, you know, he's still working on things. He has only had 4 starts. But, you know, he does have the Marlins. He does have a lot of strikeout upside with that 27% strikeout rate and a 12.6% swing and strike rate. So that makes him a pretty decent 12-team play. But the risk is there for shallower formats. If you're in a 12-team daily change league, I think you can do worse than Tyler McGill. All right. Let's move on to Mitchell Parker. He is 23% owned, and he has the Tigers, who are 26 in the league against lefties in WRC+. And Mitchell Parker has got some pretty interesting numbers going on, especially in the ERA and ERA estimator, with a 3.47 ERA, a 3.71 xFIP. You know, and I think that you pair that up with the pretty low walk rate of 5.3%, which is way down this year. Look, in the minors, he had been in the double digits, but in AAA this year, before going to the majors, he was at 6.7. Now he's at 5.3. 5.3%. The walk rate is there, but the strikeout upside hasn't really shown itself at 19.8%. But you know, it has a decent 11.8% swing and strike rate. So you know, there is some room, I think, for him to do better in the strikeout department. He does have a pretty good chase rate. He also has excellent extension on his pitches, which gives his fastball more value. He also has a 41% whiff rate against on the splitter, and he uses that a lot against righties. And so if a lineup tries to go right-handed heavy against him, he has a pretty good option in order to get those outs against righties. So you know, there are a lot of things to like about Mitchell Parker. I do like him a lot against the Tigers. I think he's a pretty good play in those standard team and those standard size leagues. So you know, rolling the dice with him tomorrow, I do believe. And I think there's some pretty decent rest of season upside, especially if he can start to tap in to some of that strikeout upside that we saw in the minors. And especially if that split figure continues to be so deadly against righties. Alrighty. So let's move off of Mr. Parker, and we'll move on to J.P. Sears. J.P. Sears has the Padres tomorrow, and you might be thinking, what the hell, Paul? It's the freaking Padres. Well, listen up, bro. They are struggling against lefties. They are 22nd in the league in WRC Plus against lefties. I've said this a few times in this podcast, and there is some success to be had when you get a lefty against the Padres. That makes him in the conversation for deep leaguers. You know, once again, if you're trying to scrape the bottom of the barrel for some upside, then I think J.P. Sears might be able to give that to you against a Padre offense that struggles against lefties. You know, he has a 17.7% strikeout rate. Yeah, that's uninspiring, but it was 21.8% last year, and he did get 15 whiffs. Let me say that one more time. 15 whiffs in his last start. 14.9% swing and strike with a 28.7% CSW. This was against the Seattle Mariners, who also struggle against lefties, and they struggle all around. But look, Seattle and the Padres are kind of in the same ballpark when it comes to left-handed hitting. At least that's what WRC Plus says. Not only did he have 15 whiffs, but the separation on the four-seam and the changeup was nice. He had that classic four seamers up in the zone, changeups down, got six whiffs on the four seamer, five whiffs on the changeup. So those are some inspiring numbers from him. You know, so I think he does have the pretty decent ability to do well against the Padres tomorrow. But look, he is a 12-team fade. Don't get it twisted, boo. Don't go out and add him in your shallower format, center size leagues. You know, but if you're playing in a 15-16 team league, and you kind of need to go with kind of a dart throw type of situation, I think J.P. Sears can be your guy. Okay. Oh, and there's one thing I forgot to kind of mention through all this stuff with the pitchers is that, remember, we are still pretty early in the week with your head-to-head. So whenever I'm getting into a lot of names, the names that are coming up here are more for those daily change roto leagues, and I'm probably avoiding a lot of the names coming up in my head-to-heads, because these names are, let me put it this way, they're kind of meh pitchers facing bad to middling offenses. So you got a lot of pitchers that don't have a lot of upside, but they're pitching well enough, and they do well enough that whenever they have the matchups they do, they get into the streaming conversation. But if you're in a head-to-head and it's very early in the week right now, not if, it is early in the week right now, then I would avoid these names and wait for later in the week to see how your normal, how your starting pitchers that you already have in your roster, see how they do instead, because it's too risky right now to go ahead and blow up the ERA and WHIP, especially since some of these guys don't have the strikeout upside that you would look for early in the week. Okay, first name on this part of the segment of this list is Jameson Taillon, and he is 26% owned, and he has the Rays. They're 24th in the league in WRC Plus against righties. He has a 3.47 ERA with a 4.37 xFIP, so not super inspiring. What is kind of inspiring is a 6.1% walk rate, and his expected WOBAs, xWOBAs on his pitch mix is pretty solid. It's 2.53 on the cutter, 3.06 on the curveball, 200 on the sweeper, 290 on the sinker. He does the sweeper against righties, the curveball against lefties. So he is able to attack the platoon pretty effectively. You know, but look, he doesn't have a lot of strikeout upside this year. He's only 16.4% on there with an 8.4% swinging strike rate and a 27.6% CSW. So it's not like there's anything that is, you know, screaming that the strikeout rate is going to go up. But with that solid walk rate and the expected WOBAs against him is pretty solid, I think that he can be a pretty decent option in those daily change leagues against the Rays. But look, the strikeout upside isn't there. So I don't think he's a very good early in the week option in those head-to-head leagues. I wouldn't risk your ERA because he does have a 437 xFIP, right? And the four-seamer, I believe, yeah, the four-seamer, the usage rate is down on it, but it still gets rocked pretty hard with the 398 expected wOBA. So there is a pitch that they still throws at a pretty decent amount that is at risk of getting clobbered. So I think that there is, you know, some risk. And also overall, Jameson Taillon has just been kind of a very bleh pitcher. I mean, he's the kind of guy that goes 5 to 6 innings, allows 2 to 3 or 4 earned runs, you know, is going to get you about, you know, 5 or 6 hits allowed, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 hits allowed. You know, he's this the type of numbers that aren't like freaking awful, right? He 5 innings and 2 earned runs is definitely in the cards. A quality start is also in the cards. However, he could go 5 innings, 3 earned runs very easily, 6 innings, 4 earned runs. You know, there are definitely ways in which he can really, the floor for him is pretty low as well, and the ceiling isn't very high. But, you know, he does have enough success this year. He does have solid enough numbers that I think that he can provide some decent value in those daily chains 12-team leagues, but he's too risky this early in your head-to-head weekly leagues. Let's talk Miles Michaelis. 10% owned against the Pirates. Pirates are 28th in the league in WRC Plus against righties. And Miles Michaelis probably has a little bit better chance to do well than Jameson Taillon. Maybe, I don't know. He has a 5.32 ERA. He backed up with an xFIP of 3.98, so the xFIP is a little bit better. You know, he has a 17.8% strikeout rate, and the walk rate is pretty good too at 4.7%. 4 of his last 5 starts have been quality starts, and the other start that wasn't a quality start was still pretty good with 5 innings and 1 earned run. You know, he has 21 strikeouts and 29 innings pitched, which isn't super awesome, but it's also not super bad. So he is providing some counting stats to go with that quality start, to go with, you know, potentially a decent-ish ERA with that low walk rate that does provide a decent floor for his whip. So, you know, there is some things I like about Miles Michaelis against a very bad Pittsburgh offense. But once again, you know, this is risky for your early in the week and your head-to-heads. He's someone in your daily change leagues, 12 teams, I would consider it. He's not my most favorite play, but man, he does have the Pirates, who do kind of suck. They're 28th in the league in WRC Plus against righties. So there is a pretty decent argument to be made that Miles Michaelis is going to do well tomorrow. So, you know, if you want to stream him, go for it. Same with Taillon. But I'm not going to sit here and say they're an absolute must-start, must-add. They're not set up a priority. But, you know, there's a good argument to be made that they could do well. All right. Let's talk Cal Quantrill. And he's 20% owned against Minnesota. And I think that he has a deep league option against the Twins, who are 14th in the league in WRC Plus. So they're a pretty decent offense. You know, but look, Cal Quantrill just probably isn't that decent of a pitcher. He is a 3.58 ERA with a 4.43 xFIP. The strikeout rate really isn't there at 16.9%. You know, and the walk rate's pretty high at 9.6%. The swinging strike rate and the CSW are not very good at 9.7% and 25.6% respectively. However, he has had a very excellent run lately. 5 of his last 7 starts, he's gone at least 6 innings and he's allowed 2 earned runs or less. And 1 of those 7, he went 5 innings with 0 earned runs. And then there was the very, 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 very bad start against the Dodgers. You know, it's the Dodgers that's going to happen, so I can't really blame him for that. But look, he's doing quite well. He's on a nice run. But the matchup is not all that inspiring. So 12 teamers, I still think it's kind of risky because the Twins are a pretty okay offense, and Cal Quantrill doesn't have, like, the xFIP of 4.43 tells me that it's not like a super sustainable run. The strikeout rate is not very good at 16.5%. He still has a pretty high walk rate of 9.6%. There's a lot of risk involved with Cal Quantrill. So 12 team daily change leagues, especially earlier head-to-heads, I'm out on Cal Quantrill. But if you want to try and catch lightning in the bottle, try and catch to see if Cal Quantrill is still kind of riding a hot streak and can still ride the momentum, then I guess. But overall, I do not like Cal Quantrill all that much, but I think he is in the streaming conversation for those deeper leagues that are scraping the bottom of the waiver wire barrel. All right, and the last pitcher name on the list is Randy Vasquez. He's 2% owned, so deep leaguers, this is definitely an option for you. He has the athletics. They're 22nd in the league in WRC+. And there are a couple of numbers that I will point to that makes me think that he could potentially do well. He has a 3.4% walk rate. That's pretty solid. The 11.2 swinging strike rate is not great, but you know that number but he's 14.3% strikeout rate is super low, but we got a super low strikeout rate, but the swinging strike rate is actually not terrible, then, you know, maybe the strikeout rate won't be not terrible, right? Maybe you can get that strikeout rate to just be okay at least. And especially against the Oakland Athletics with the swinging strike rate like he does, it is possible. I can see Randy Vasquez potentially getting some extra strikeouts because of that swinging strike rate being there. The CSW is pretty terrible though, but he has shown somewhat of the ability to miss bats, and he has the offense, he is facing the offense like the Athletics that gives him kind of that boost, that little extra value to, you know, kind of convince me and convince yourself that maybe Vasquez can do well. So those deep league options, deep league managers out there, I think you can really go for it. And let's see here. You know, he has good exit velocity against him. He has a good hard hit rate against him. He hasn't found the strikeout upside that he showed in the minors. Like I said, you know, there's a still potential for him to do well in strikeouts, even though it's not like a super major plus. There is some potential. You know, again, I'm talking deep leagues. I'm talking, you know, 15, 16 team leagues here. I think he's kind of in that radar. He does have two of his last three starts are quality starts. So he has done well. And so I think he's, you know, he can be someone in those deep leagues you can consider. All right, y'all. I'm going to talk sell highs and buy low hitters. And before I get into these sell highs, I'm going to give this caveat here. When I'm talking sell high, My definition essentially is you've gotten their best stats already, and that their best baseball is behind them. Not necessarily that the players on this list are going to be bad. I'm not going to say they're going to wake up tomorrow and they're going to be shitty, right? I think they're still going to be good, but I don't think they're going to be as good as what we've seen, at least to the level that we've seen. So, with that in mind, the first name on the list is, hold your breath, this is a big one, Jose Ramirez. He is slashing .275, .336, and .554. He has 18 home runs. He already has 62 RBI and 30 stolen bases. Holy shit, those are some eye-popping numbers. 18 homers, 62 RBI, 30 steals, and we're talking early June? Oh boy, I think this is a sell high moment for Jose Ramirez. He has a batting average of .245. The expected batting average is, .275. The expected batting average is .247. His .554 slugging is backed up with an expected slugging over 100 points lower at .443. And the walk rate is lower, is considerably lower than it was from last year. It was 10.6% last year, is down to 8.3% 10% this year. The look, if you also go look at things like the expected XWOBAs, expected batting average, expected sluggings from last year to this year, you're going to see some troubling numbers. Last year, he was at 358 in expected WOBA, XWOBA. Now it's more back down to earth, a little bit closer to league average at 324. Again, 324, that's not a bad XWOBA, but guys, this is, I'm telling you that he is not going to perform at the level he's at now. And I give you, and I'll talk about the type of names you can go after when you decide to sell him. The expected batting average was 294 last year. It was at 247 this year. The expected slugging last year was 480, and it's at 443 this year. His launch angle sweet spot is down to league average this year. So I just think that Jose Ramirez is not going to hit another 18 homers. He's not going to get another 62 RBIs, and I don't think he's going to get on base enough to get up to 30 more steals again. I think you have seen the most, you've gotten the most out of Jose Ramirez. You've got the best stats that he is going to provide for the rest of the year. The average is going to go down. The power production is not going to be that high. Thus, without the bat power production, that's going to reduce the number of RBI. He's not going to get on base as much. Remember, the walk rate is down, so it's not like he has like a floor to back up onto if the batting average goes down. The batting average, expected batting average, is about, was it 30, 40 points lower than the real one? So there is a good argument to be made that 294 batting average is a mirage. That means he's going to get on base less, which means less steals. Less homers means less RBI. Now look, the expected slugging and the XWOBAs are all still pretty okay, right at 326 and 447. You know, it's not like Jose Ramirez is going to be a bad baseball player this year. I just don't think he's going to be a top 10 player like he is right now. So I think you can potentially go out and get one of those top 10 players on your squad. Go out and see if you can convince someone to give you like a freaking Ohtani or a Bobby Witt or a or any of those top tier players, because I think that Jose Ramirez has those numbers. You know, he's got those surface numbers that make you go, wow, you know, 275, 336, 554 on the slash, and then an 18 home run, 62 RBIs, 30 steals. I mean, those are top tier fantasy baseball numbers. You can probably go out and get one of those early draft pick guys and see if you can get someone to buy Jose Ramirez right now, because it's not going to be like this for the rest of the year, guys. It's still going to be good, but it's not going to be this freaking good, right? You've gotten, I think for the rest of the year, you might look at about another 12 homers out of Ramirez, you know, which means I think he might be around 40 to 50 more RBI. I think the batting average is going to be closer to 250, 260. You know, I think he's only going to get about another 15 or so steals, which, look, these numbers aren't bad. Right, that's still solid production, but it's not the 294. It's not the 18 homers. It's not the 62 RBI. It's not the 30 steals. He's not. You've gotten all of the homers already. You've gotten the most home runs that Ramirez is going to hit this year. You've gotten the most RBI he's going to get. You've gotten the highest batting averages he's going to get. Now is the time to sell on Jose Ramirez.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwoodone.
Okay, next guy on the list is Anthony Volpe, and he has a 280, 342, and 428 slash line. He just has 6 homers, he's got 12 steals, he's got 47 runs scored. That's a lot of runs. The team context, obviously, with the Yankees is pretty good. However, let's look at that expected batting average. A batting average of 280, expected batting average of 251. The expected slugging is 355, with a real slugging at 428. He has a below league average expected WOBA, ex-WOBA, at 300. The exit velocity and the barrel rates are very below average. They're not very good. The hard hit rate is also below average. So I think that the home runs aren't really going to show up for him. And also, look, his walk rate is down from last year, and the batting average I don't think is going to be as high as it is. So, look, right now Anthony Volpe is ranked in the top 25. He's 21st according to Fantrax. So he is someone I think you can trade him for another top 25 player, because I don't think he's going to be a top 25 dude for the rest of the year, because the batting average is going to go down and the slugging is going to go down. He's not going to hit as many homers, and he's not going to get on base as much. Since he's not going to get on this base as much, he's not going to score as much, he's not going to steal as many bases. You know, I still think he's still going to steal a number, good number of bases. He's still going to be a decent run scored asset, but you can probably go out and get a more solid 5x5 asset for him right now, as opposed to what he's going to provide for the rest of the season. You know, I still think, you know, with the team context, you know, again, you know, like Jose Ramirez, he's still going to be a pretty good player, right? He's still going to get a decent number of steals. He's going to steal a good number, He's going to score a good number of runs. So I think there is some things to like about Volpe, but he's not going to be a top 25 guy for the rest of the year with that 280 batting average and 12 steals and 47 runs. That is the crux of his ranking, are those three numbers. And I think with the expected batting average being as low as it is, the walk rate being lower than it was last year, so that means that he's not going to get on base as much, and that means less steals, less runs, and those are his two strongest categories, with steals and runs and batting average. They're all going to regress from this point on. So I'm not like out on Volpe, but if you can trade him for another player more solidly in the top 25, top 30, I would go out and do that right now. Okay. The next sell high on the list, Ezekiel Tovar. Right now, Ezekiel Tovar is ranked with guys like Christopher Morel, Riley Green, Jake Cronenworth. He is probably ranked higher than all of them, or he's in the same ballpark as them, one of the way. And those are three names that I would definitely trade Tovar for right now. Look, he's slashing 294, 325, 487. The 294 batting average is backed up with an expected batting average of just 239. The 487 slugging is backed up with an expected slugging of 404. And on the, you know, on the year, he has 10 homers, 28 RBI. But look, the problem here is those expected numbers just aren't going to be there. You know, he does have a decent launch angle, sweet spot, barrel rate, and hard hit rate. Those are all pretty solid numbers. Like, I get that. But Ezekiel Tovar is kind of ranked somewhere in the, I think it's, yeah, top 130 or so. He's not going to stay in that area. He's going to drop. And I think guys like Christopher Morel, and Riley Green and Jake Cronenworth can all be got right now for Tovar, given his surface area numbers. See if you can get someone to think that he's going to continue the pace that he's at. Because, look, I don't think he's going to get another 10 homers. I don't think he's going to get another 28 RBI. And the batting average is all going to go down. You know, look, the chase, whiff, strikeout, and walk rate, all three of those things, the quality of at-bat numbers are all ass. They're all terrible. So it's not like he's having good at-bats with more chances at, you know, creating good quality contact and getting hits. He's not making good contact. He's whiffing. He's chasing. He's striking out. He's not walking. The quality of contact numbers are okay, but they're not screaming that he's going to continue to get 10 homers. I don't think he's going to double his home run total from here to the end of the year. I don't think he's going to do it. That batting average is going to drop, which means he's going to have less chances. That means he's going to have less runs scored. That means he's going to have less RBI because he's not going to have as many homers. I think Ezekiel Tovar is a very solid sell high right now. He's ranked in the same ballpark as the Morels and the Greens and the Cronenworths of the world. I think he can submit an offer and potentially get someone who is more solidly in the top 120, top 130 range, and I think your fantasy baseball team is going to be better for it. All right, next man up is Anthony Santander. And look, he's slashing just .227, .306 with a .480 slugging. He has a .480 slugging. That's pretty good, right? But the expected slugging is only .414. His hard hit and exit velocities are all way down from previous years, especially the hard hit rate, man. It went from 46% down to 35.4%. The exit velocities went from over 90 miles per hour down to 88.1. Santander is just not hitting the ball as hard as he used to. He already has 14 homers this year, so it makes his surface numbers look pretty good, right? That's a .480 slugging, so maybe you can get a manager to, okay, well, he's got 14 homers, and maybe you can get, like I said, the names I'm going to keep throwing at you are going to be Jake Cronenworth, the Christopher Morels, Riley Greens, all these guys that are in the top 150 in the same ballpark as Santander, but I think they all have better chances to be better ball players than Santander. So just go to the rankings, right, and see what players are around Santander, and more than likely Santander is going to be worse than almost everybody in the same range as him. So see if you can submit a deal for a similarly valued player and see if you can get a manager to bite. Because I don't think Santander is going to have, 14 homers. I think you've gotten the majority of the homers that he's going to have this year. That batting average of .227 is right along the same rate of his expected batting average. With a hard hit and exit velocities being down this year like they are, I'm not totally out on Santander because he does still have the launch angle sweet spot rates and other numbers are pretty solid. But with those hard hit exit velocities, there's a good argument to be made that his power overall isn't going to be what it used to be, especially with an expected slugging about 70 points lower than his real slugging. Okay. Alrighty, y'all. So let's get into some buy low options. I already kind of gave you a couple names. One of the previous podcasts, Christopher Morel, he's still an excellent buy low candidate right now. If you want more information on that, listen to my Monday podcast last week. And then we also have a good buy low candidate and a guy named Brandon Nimmo. He was talked about in depth by Nathan Baker on Wednesday's podcast. So go and check out that podcast to get the information on those two guys. I've also mentioned Jake Cronenworth already. He's someone I'm just going to mention real fast. I think that he is ranked a lot lower than a lot of the guys on the sell high list. So I think that he is someone that you could potentially go and get one of those go and snag Jake Cronenworth for some of those sell highs. I also like Riley Green for the rest of the year. I think that he is also kind of ranked in this kind of top 150, top 160 range, and I think that he's doing a lot better. He's going to be a lot better than a lot of those guys in that range. So I think these are all kind of buy low candidates. But there are a couple of names I really want to specifically talk about and get into in more in depth because I could talk about buy low, sell highs all freaking day, but you know, I got other things I want to do. All right, so let's talk about Taylor Ward. And Taylor Ward is a pretty good buy low right now. Over the last 18 games, he's slashing .158, .338, and 246. He only has one homer and six RBIs in the last 18 games. Things are not looking very good for Taylor Ward, but look, the under the hood numbers all scream that he is going to be just fine. Look, all of it, the expected wOBA, expected slugging, expected batting average, expected slugging, the barrel rate, hard hit rate, are all there. There's the launch angle sweet spot rate is there. There is just nothing that to not like about Taylor Ward's under the hood numbers. Look, the expected slugging is 515 and his current one is down to 431. His batting average is down to 247, but the expected slugging on that is 270. I think that right now you can go out and trade him. Trade for him. If you have Carlos Rodon, trade Carlos Rodon for Taylor Ward. I would trade Anthony Santander for Ward. Maybe Lou Regifio is currently his teammate, is currently ranked around the same ballpark as Ward. And with Ward slipping so far, maybe you can get a manager to freak. Jesse Winker is another person that I would trade Taylor Ward. I would trade for Taylor Ward. I would trade Ezekiel Tovar for Taylor Ward. These are all names that I think that you could get Taylor Ward for right now, given how poor he has played. He is no longer as hot as he used to be, but those under the hood numbers do not say that his slump is for real. So even if the inverse were true, right, if he had terrible under the hood numbers, but he was on a hot streak, I would be calling him a sell high. However, he is a very good hitter on a terrible slump right now. He was someone who was drafted kind of late, so you might get a manager who's freaking out and go, oh, well, the hot streak of Taylor Ward is gone, and they think, oh, okay, I can replace him with Santander. Cool, awesome, and you'll be right there willing to buy. I would go get Taylor Ward right now while he's on a cold streak, and it's going to turn around. Alrighty, y'all. The last name I want to talk about more in depth is Manny Machado. Now, the first thing I'm going to say is he has a hip flexor injury, so we need to keep an eye on the injury. But as of right now, he has been placed on the injury list, and so that's always a good sign. You know, if the Padres think that he's going to be out for longer, it doesn't make sense for him to just burn a roster spot, right? So the fact that he's still not on the IL and the fact that he even pinch hit since the injury, I don't think he's going to be out for long. So if that all checks out, then I think that Manny Machado is a very good buy low right now. He is slashing just 248, 311, 374. The 248 batting average is backed up with an expected slugging of 272. He has an expected slugging at 428 with the real slugging at 374. So I think there's a lot of room there for positive regression. He only has six homers and 32 RBI this year. But look, a lot of his under the hood numbers are similar to last year's, and a lot of the numbers are even similar to his even better 2022. The big number that I want to point out is the launch angle sweet spot rate. I think it is way up from last year, and it's close to, it's not at the 2022 level, but it is at least closer to the 2022 level than it was from last year's way lower level, right? So you saw it really good in 2022. It dropped down to really, really bad last year. This year, it started to normalize and come back up. So I think that the elite Manny Machado is still in there. I think that you can go get him kind of on the cheap right now. So I think that is definitely someone that I would look at as a buy low. If you have him on your roster, do not panic. Do not think that Manny Machado is gone. I think Manny Machado is still there. He just kind of run into a little bit of bad luck. And when you look at the expected slugging, when you look at the expected batting average, the xWOBAs, the exit velocities, bat speed, barrel rate, hard hit rate are all there for him. And even the launch angle sweet spot rate has gotten better than what it was last year. So I think Manny Machado is still going to be a solid five category guy that I think that you need to go scoop up right now. Alrighty, y'all. That brings me to the end of the podcast. Actually went a little bit shorter than I thought. I was thinking I was looking at about an hour or so, but you know, I'm sitting at the 46-minute mark. That's not bad. Go me. You're welcome. Alrighty, y'all. Thank you so much for joining me. Don't forget to go follow me at PaulW_34, at PaulW_34. Let me know what you think. Do you think I'm a moron? Do you think I'm smart? Are you going to try to trade some of the sell highs? Are you going to try and trade for some of the buy lows? Send me your trades on Twitter. And if you do, I might just talk about it on the podcast and give you a little shout out. Who knows? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Give me, show me a little love. Let me know what you think, guys, at PaulW_34. Don't forget to follow Sports Ethos Fantasy Baseball at Ethos Fantasy BB. That's at Ethos Fantasy BB. As always, this episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Thank y'all so much for joining me. Y'all have a good day.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.